Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Crowley and Callis with you this morning. Doran off today. He will not be in on Monday. He's out in Dallas, or at least he's going to be out in Dallas for Pitt's massive game against SMU tomorrow night, 8 p.m. You can listen to that right here on 93.7 The Fan. We'll get into that game. We'll get into Penn State, Ohio State coming up at the bottom of the hour. Two massive games in college football this weekend. In fact, you might be able to argue the two biggest games in college football this weekend. The only two matchups where both teams are ranked. So we'll talk about it at 7:35. You can tweet us at underscore Adam Crowley, at Callis underscore 33. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Russell Wilson's good, guys. They weren't using him right in Denver. Mark Schlereth has admitted to that. My name is Adam. Get it together, Crowman. Mark Schlereth, the biggest Russell Wilson criticizer, for lack of a better way of putting it, all off season long, has turned over a new leaf, has apologized to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, with a quarterback rating of 111.9 so far, through just two games, absolutely understand, small sample size, but the Steelers are utilizing him correctly. 400 yards of total offense in each of the last two games. That hasn't happened since 2018, when Ben Roethlisberger was still at the height of his powers, before the elbow fell off. This is the best the Steelers' offense has been since the end of Roethlisberger's career. They're 15th in the NFL in scoring right now. They're a point away from being a top 10 offense in the NFL. Russell Wilson is throwing the ball down the field better and more frequently through two games, if you extrapolate it out, than just about any quarterback in the National Football League. They're not having him throw it between the numbers. They're utilizing play action, and the moon ball is working. Russell Wilson, folks, is a good quarterback. He didn't forget how to play in Denver. Sean Payton, it's like going to Burger King. He wanted it his way. He didn't want to do it the other guy's way. He wanted to do it the Sean Payton way. And that means drop back, rhythm passing, middle of the field, Drew Brees kind of stuff. And he's trying to pound that, and he's having some success doing that with Bo Nix. He's trying to pound it into his head the way he was trying to pound it into Russell Wilson's head. Problem is, Russell Wilson is a sculpture, and this young man, Bo Nix, he's clay. You can develop him. He's like Play-Doh. He's malleable. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. Russell Wilson did. You got to use Russell Wilson the way that Russell Wilson can be successful. Sean Payton didn't. And the previous guy, one of the worst coaches in the entirety of the NFL's history, who is good buddies with Aaron Rodgers, and even that couldn't save him from getting demoted. Of course, we're talking about Nathaniel Hackett. So I don't think the last 2 years were Russell Wilson's fault. And even last year, Russell Wilson had good counting stats. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, really good in the red zone, 20 touchdowns, 1 interception. But even all that, the last 2 years in Denver leaves a bad taste in your mouth, huh? I mean, it was so bad Russell Wilson was a couple of years ago. Again, I don't think his fault, but he was really bad. And last year, the tape evaluating types said Russ didn't play all that well. Forget the counting stats. So coming into the year, here's all the quarterbacks I think reasonable people would have taken ahead in the AFC of Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes, duh. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence probably, Aaron Rodgers. That's 9 quarterbacks. I think reasonable people would have made the argument, and I think we did, with Pat Bostic, with Dorn. At best, Russ was going to be what? The 10th best quarterback in the AFC. So what do you have to do around him then? You've got to be exceptional everywhere else. It's why you wanted Ayuk. It's why you argued for Davante Adams. It's why you wanted them to get another wide receiver. Make the offense quarterback-proof. If your quarterback's bad or average, accentuate him with outstanding talent. I don't think Geno Smith's great. He's good enough when you're throwing the ball to DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith and Jigba, and you're throwing the ball to Tyler Lockett, and you've got a good running game. Quarterback's fine. Everything else, really good. You can make that argument on steroids for the San Francisco 49ers. Brock Purdy has obvious physical limitations. It's why he was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. Well, you give a guy Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Kittle and McCaffrey and that scheme, you're going to put up points. So you needed to make the Steelers exceptional defensively, special teams, skill position guys around Russell Wilson. Well, defensively, they've held up their end of the bargain. Special teams-wise, they're by far the best in the league, or the Steelers. But still, you're left wanting on the offensive line. You're left wanting at the wide receiver position. But here's what Russ has done. He's pulled a neat trick here. He's elevated guys. All of a sudden, Darnell Washington's a threat in the passing game. Whoa. All of a sudden, Calvin Austin III looks like he belongs on an NFL roster and is a pretty good player. All of a sudden, when he's running the right routes, Van Jefferson looks fairly useful, and that's because Russell Wilson is playing a lot better than the 10th quarterback in the AFC. Josh Allen's been otherworldly this year. Patrick Mahomes, even though, again, counting statistics-wise, he's not looked great, he's still Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, thirsting for his third MVP, he's playing really well. Joe Burrow, despite the Bengals stinking, is Joe Burrow. And Justin Herbert, actually, his passer rating is just about where it's been at the best seasons of his career. So I would take those five ahead of Russell Wilson right now. But I think I might go with Russ if you extrapolate what he's done through two games out over the rest of the year and say, is he the sixth best quarterback in the AFC? Because if he is, with this defense, with this special teams, folks, you gots to shot. I'm not saying you're winning a Super Bowl. I'm not saying you go into Arrowhead Stadium come playoff time and beat the Chiefs. But you got a shot if you've got the sixth best quarterback and everything else is pretty good. And I think that's where he slots in. Like, C.J. Stroud is not having as good of a season this year as he did last year. Stroud last season in 15 games threw five picks. He's thrown four already this year. His touchdown percentage is lower. His completion percentage is higher, but guess what? He's not throwing the ball anywhere near downfield as much as he was last year. Last year, 8.7 yards per attempt. That's a healthy chunk. This year, 7.47, which ain't bad, but it's not the same. He's not the same. And they're banged up at the wide receiver position, and now Diggs will be out for the year. So I don't think you definitively say that Stroud's the better player right now than Russell Wilson. Who do you want? Of course, Stroud. He's in his second year. Like, if you're building a franchise, you're taking Stroud. That's not the argument. But right now, Russ playing good ball. Stroud playing okay ball and not as good a ball as last year. 30 fewer yards per game through the air for C.J. Stroud this year than last year. Now, part of that is Mixon, but part of that's the passing attack not as good. And they're actually averaging fewer points per game than are the Steelers, the Texans are. And that's with Russ not playing the first six games. I'm taking Russ over Winston. I'm taking Russ over Lawrence. I'm taking Russ over Flacco. I'm taking Russ over Nix and Brissett and Tua now and Minshew, O'Connell and Levis and Rudolph. Coming into the year, you're taking Rodgers, Lawrence, Tua, Stroud all over Russell Wilson. I don't think you're doing that right now, which means the Steelers have a chance to contend for the number two seed in the AFC. And hey, if you beat the Chiefs, you got a shot to play all your games at Acrisure Stadium. The defense is good. The special teams is elite. And if your quarterback is playing at a playoff level, how do you say you don't have a shot? We do this all the time. General we. Sports talk radio, people who write, fans. Oh boy, Steelers are going to have what, the 10th best quarterback in the AFC? You know, Kenny Pickett was like 13th or 14th. I mean, is it really that big of an upgrade? Well, now he's the 6th best quarterback, in my opinion, with a chance to move up. Like, Russ's numbers through two games, again, you have to do the extrapolation thing, are better than Justin Herbert's. I would take Herbert. Herbert's having a good year. His yards per attempt are up, actually. He's taking shots down the field. They're kind of not hiding him, but having him manage games. But could he be the 5th best quarterback in the AFC? And then you start thinking about Burrow. Is he even going to make the playoffs? He's playing really good quarterback right now. But they might not be there to contend with come playoff time. You got to beat them. You play them twice. And that's where the bad news is. So I said, this is great. You got a shot. You got maybe the sixth best quarterback in the AFC. You're way better a quarterback than you've been since the heyday of Ben Roethlisberger. Here's the fly in the ointment. Here's the problem. Russ ain't playing better than Jaden Daniels. Russ ain't playing better than Lamar Jackson. Russ ain't playing better than Joe Burrow. Russ probably ain't playing better than Jalen Hurts, who's accounted for 15 touchdowns this year to just 4 interceptions. Mahomes is Mahomes. So you're really only going to have the distinct, clear quarterback advantage in two of your matchups. And that's Cleveland. And Jameis Winston looked good, albeit against a really bad, I think, Ravens defense. 412-928-9370, Dan in Indiana. Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Adam. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, you got it, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I put him number 5. I would actually put him above Stroud and Herbert. You know, just like you said, I think Stroud's fallen off. I think preseason we would all put guys like Rodgers and Tua and everybody ahead of them. I would still like to see them get a wide receiver. And I think also, what's really helping him out is Najee has just been running like an absolute beast here the last couple weeks.
You know what? Awesome. Dan, I think a lot of people had it all wrong when they said that taking Justin Fields out was going to make it harder to run.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson being able to throw the ball up over the top and you don't have safeties crashing the line of scrimmage play after play after play has opened up so many things for Najee Harris. And so the Steelers do have a well-rounded offense and a well-rounded team. Here's a texter. Criticizer. How about critic? Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I ate too much candy last night. I appreciate it. You can correct me anytime you want, because they're when you talk for 4 straight hours, 4+, you're going to say some stupid stuff. 412-928-9370. Here's another texter. Russell Wilson played a dysfunctional Jets team, the second worst team in the NFL in the Giants. Premature conversation with a harder half of the schedule coming up. Yeah, it is a harder half. No question about that. I'm just not seeing anything from Russell Wilson that I don't think is unsustainable right now. Like, I think he can continue to do the things he's doing. My big question is, and I talked to Bostic, Doran, and Doug Whaley about this, is what's it going to look like when they trail a game and it's traditional drop-back passing and you're not going to have play action, you're probably not going to call rollouts, you just got a 5-step drop, get it out of your hand. That's the next evolution here. And that's what you just don't know with Russ. What's it going to look like? And it's not so much even a Russ worry. It's more of an offensive line worry. Texter. Carly, think of it this way. We made the playoffs with a quarterback play last year, which was bad except for Mason. With a quarterback like Russell Wilson, we'll most definitely have a shot. Yep. And I don't give Tomlin a lot of credit for what he did last year because it was a disaster of his own creation. But they did win 10 games with some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL. And now you don't have that, and I think the roster is better, of course you've got a shot. Texter, doesn't matter to me where Wilson places. He beat KC, Buffalo, and the Vikings last year. We better do the same. And I believe the Browns were in that stretch. Like, he beat a playoff team in 3 out of 4 games last year and won 4 consecutive games with a Denver team that I don't think's that good. As for the last caller talking about wide receiver, that's one way you even legitimize this further. If you're one of these people, like a previous texter there, who says the other shoe's going to drop and Russ is going to come back down to earth, you haven't played great teams, well, you can help keep this going by giving him a guy like Darius Slayton. Absolutely. 412-928-9370 if you want to weigh in on this quarterback conversation. Would love to have you. Penguins get a big win last night. Sidney Crosby scores 2 goals. The game was a 1-goal game, went to overtime. But I think the Penguins dominated as much as they can. What does it all mean? We'll get into that next as well. We'll get into the college football talk at the bottom of the hour.
Comes Letang right in. Into the slot. Crosby blocked on its way to the net by Gauthier. And he overskates. And he turns it over. Crosby, he's alone. Sidney Crosby scores! History as Crosby serves up a Halloween treat.
Josh Getzoff's really good at his job. Phil Bork really good at his job. I love those two on the TV side of things. I think the world of Josh. He's a hell of a nice guy. That's a great goal call, and it was vintage Sidney Crosby, who it seemed like was stick handling in the blue paint for like 18 seconds there. And after the game, he said, yep, just happy I finished, because you got a lot of time. Sometimes you don't want that much time. And I don't think this is hyperbole to say that the goal to tie it in the third, and then that goal subsequently, might be the two most important of the entire Penguin season, not just up to this point, but overall. I don't think that's hyperbole, because they dominated the Ducks, and their young goaltender's playing really good. The Penguins had 46 shots. The Ducks had 23. If the Penguins play that well, because for them, that's as good as you can play, and still lose the game, I think that's the kind of game that breaks you. You've lost all those games in a row. You just lost at home to the Wild, and your fans are cheering for the opposing team's goaltender. You know you need a bounce back. You know you've got a not great Ducks team. You know you've got a not great Montreal team. You got to win these two. You got to protect home ice. You got to get the season back on track. And then you play well and still lose because the old other goalie beat you. Oh, man, I think that could have been crushing. I don't know that this saves the Penguins season, but the season that was already going one way could have continued to go down the tubes. So they needed it, and the captain showed up, showed out the way he always seems to in big moments. But I'm so caught here. And we're going to take your Steelers calls on Russell Wilson and the quarterback conversation we had in the last segment. I know we have people patiently waiting on hold at 412-928-9370. We'll get to you in a minute. It was the lowest attendance of the PPG Paints Arena era, if you don't include the COVID games, and why would you? The lowest attendance. Now, Halloween probably has something to do with that. The tickets were going for like $15, telling you that people weren't going to show up. And if you look at the other games on this homestand and you go forward, there's no other games that are priced this low. So I do think Halloween had something to do with it, but I think Penguins fans are also telling you this team stinks and there's a nostalgia factor, but there's not much more going. And I know Starkey did his whole first segment yesterday about other NHL markets firing their coach after two disappointing seasons and a horrendous start. And I do think in other markets, Mike Sullivan, after the loss to the Wild, would have been gone. And I don't, as a radio host, have an opinion on this. And this is stupid. You should. I should. That's my job. I'm asking, should they be firing Sullivan? Like, what's the goal here? Are you really trying to win? When you bring in Carlson, you are. But then this offseason, you bring in a bunch of old guys on short-term deals. Why? Probably because you don't want anybody holding up roster spots or salary cap space, and you could flip some of these guys at the deadline. Are they really trying to win? If the answer's no, you still expect better than a 3-7-1 start, but you're not going to fire the coach. And I'm just asking Penguins fans at 412-928-9370, like, what are the expectations here? Because not a lot of people were at the game last night. Nostalgia can only take you so far. You can have good, fun seasons without winning a championship. The 04 Steelers, the 01 Penguins, Pitt in 2016 beat Penn State. They beat Clemson, who goes on to win the national championship, but they didn't even win their bowl game. They went 8-4. That's a fun year. That's a good year. No, those are all good teams. Crosby's rookie season, bad team, fun year. He's going for 100 points. It can happen that way. What are we looking for here, Penguins fans? And I'm asking, because I myself am conflicted. Like, we're so used to a great team here that even the last 2 years, they contended for playoff spots until the very final week of the season. Like, is that what we need here? If it is, you fire the coach. But if it's all about the feels, if it's all about the nostalgia, if it's all about Crosby one day catching Jagr and just watching him play every night, then you probably don't. Because I think the organization wants, when this era closes, Mike Sullivan to be leading the next era. So I don't often get on the radio and say, boy, I don't know how to feel right now. I look at these Penguins, and I think they're the ultimate Rorschach test. You watch them, and every single Penguin fan you talk to is going to have a different take, a different idea on what the hell's going on here. 412-928-9370. What's up, Callis?
I thought this was nice. I was on the phone with somebody while you were talking about the Penguins.
Uh-huh.
Somebody named Maria called in and wanted to wish her boyfriend a happy birthday. His name's Anthony. And the reason I mentioned him, though, is because he's in Baltimore, but he's a Pittsburgh fan. We love to see that.
So he's listening on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Said he listens every morning. So we got a guy in Baltimore who loves our show. There you go.
Anthony, happy birthday. We love you. Thank you for listening. And Maria seems like a hell of a lady.
That's a great move right
there. Does she live here?
Does she live
with him in Baltimore?
I didn't ask.
Yeah. I did the long distance thing for a while. People tell you it doesn't work, and it really doesn't, but we made it through. So if you are doing the long distance thing, it can happen. Now ask my wife if she thinks this is working out. You might get a different answer. I do want Penguins fans' thoughts at 412-928-9370. And the question, I'm not trying to be cute here, what are we doing? And I'm genuinely asking here. Like, what are we doing with the Penguins? I thought the crowd last night was great. The people who went, that's your diehard fan base right there. There's only 14,000 and change. So there's 4,000 empty seats, and frankly, it looked like more than that. Even in the upper bowl, you had empty seats. You never see that. So what are we doing here? Like, if you want to contend, the coach I don't think has done a good enough job. But if it's all about the feels and getting a top five, top 10 draft pick and then having a good coach and Mike Sullivan lead the next generation of the Penguins, I mean, you don't fire him. I don't know. It's a bizarre place to be, and I think that Kyle Dubas, like Ron Hextall before him, got caught kind of in this trap, like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's a wild place to be. And a lot of this stuff happens organically. Like, you win championships and your core gets old and you hang on to the core, you're not going to win as much. You're not. But both these general managers and Jim Rutherford before him, I mean, they screwed some stuff up too. They could have had better times these previous few years. 412-928-9370. Newman in Monongahela. Hi, Newman.
How we doing, Crowley?
I don't know. How are you?
Good. Watch the Penguins for you real quick before we go Steelers.
Yeah.
Crosby wants him there. He's going to be there.
I watch him.
Easy.
I watch Sid, and last night was different. I don't know if he wants him there or not. I know he wants Geno there and Letang there. I know he wants his guys. I don't know about the coach.
Yeah. I think it goes back to the same thing with Roethlisberger. He wanted the offensive coordinator he wanted, and they stayed. And when he didn't want somebody, they were gone.
Maybe. Maybe it's the same
and
way.
And as far as the Steelers, what you were talking about, Slayton put on a hell of an audition. Great route running. He should be here.
I'm with you on that, Newman, and thank you for the call. 412-928-9370. Still take your Steelers calls, but two other big football games this weekend. Penn State, Ohio State, big noon kickoff. College Game Day going to be there? I think College Game Day went to the wrong game. I think the Pitt game is far more important than the Ohio State-Penn State game. I'll tell you why when we come back. I'd love to hear from Penn State fans on this, too. Oh, you got this in there, Callis, little country roads. Mercifully, my West Virginia Mountaineers are off this weekend, so I don't have to suffer through them losing. But Penn State and Pitt are in action in the two highest profile games of this college football Saturday. Penn State at noon, Pitt at 8, and College Game Day going to be at the Ohio State-Penn State game in Happy Valley. Ohio State a slight favorite, 4 points over Penn State. Penn State fans mad it's not a night game. I get that. But you're still at home, and you got a chance to shut up a lot of haters, a lot of critics. James Franklin has a chance to shut up a lot of critics, a lot of haters. Do the thing he hasn't done in a long time. That's beat one of the big dogs in the Big Ten.
And I was waiting for a thank you. I'm sorry.
Thank you. And for that reason, it's a huge game for Penn State. It's a huge game for James Franklin. But I think the bigger game, seriously, the one College Game Day should have gone to, is this Pitt-SMU game. And that's not to take anything away from Penn State or Ohio State. In fact, it gasses them up a little bit. If Penn State loses, guys, I'm telling you, If Penn State loses, then runs the table, they're getting into the college football playoff. They are. One loss, Big Ten, big brand, they're getting in. And folks, I'm telling you, if Ohio State loses this game, Ohio State fans are going to be mad. They're going to be maybe going outside of the stadium there in Columbus with pitchforks and torches, all pissed off at Ryan Day. But I think a two-loss Ohio State team probably getting into the college football playoff. They are way more talented than Indiana, but Indiana could be a top 10 team when they play later on in the year. It's at the Horseshoe. Ohio State, I think, is going to win that football game. That's a resume builder. Ohio State with two losses, I think, is getting in. Penn State with one loss, I think, is getting in. If Pitt doesn't win the ACC, they're not getting into the college football playoff. Pitt is 7-0. They are 5-0 against FBS teams, but they haven't beaten a ranked team this year. The best team they beat is Syracuse. And Pitt is the lowest ranked team ever in the AP poll era at 7-0. So they're 18th right now in the AP poll. No 7-0 team has ever been ranked that low. And that tells you everything you need to know about the strength of schedule. I'm not taking anything away from Pitt. I'm just saying that's how it's viewed. That's how the College Football Playoff Committee is going to view it. This is a much bigger game for Pitt, and same thing with SMU. SMU's played one really good team this year, BYU, and lost. They played other fine teams, won the games that they were supposed to, won their home games convincingly. This is a good SMU team. If SMU loses, they got two losses. They ain't making the college football playoff. If Pitt loses, they'll have a chance to beat Clemson, right? And they'll have a chance to play their way into the ACC championship, and then if you win that, you're in. But if you lose this game, it's an uphill battle. Pitt needs to win the ACC to get a spot in that playoff. A one-loss Pitt team, because of their strength of schedule, because they don't have the brand recognition of the Penn States, Ohio States, A&M's, name an SEC school, they're not getting in with one loss. Damn sure ain't getting in with two. They got to win the ACC. So that's the bigger game. This is an elimination game. That's what college football used to always be about. And if there's one thing that I don't like about the 12-team playoff, which is generally on its face, on its surface, a good thing, it's that before you'd lose and you're done when they only allowed two teams to really compete for the national championship. You have one national championship game. You have a loss, more often than not, you're out. You have two, no shot. Four-team playoff. You got two losses, really no shot. Ohio State with two losses gets in. I think Penn State, one loss, gets in. Pitt doesn't. SMU would have two losses. They don't. The bigger game is the SMU Pitt game. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Now, it's not the game more people are going to watch. It's not the sexier brand matchup game. I get all that. And so when I say that College Game Day picked the wrong game to attend, I'm talking about in terms of the importance of the game. Now, the pomp and circumstance and 110,000 people, yeah, I understand why they did it, and they're going up against Big Noon Kickoff, which is doing the same thing. So I do get it from that standpoint. But the bigger game is Pitt-SMU. No doubt about it. 412-928-9370. Jeff in Bethel Park. Hello.
What's up, Crowley? Hey, thinking about the Penguins, man.
Yeah.
You said about 14,000 people last night. So
yeah.
There's, you know, 4,000 who said, no thanks, I'll do something else on my Halloween night. But listen, the reason to go is what we saw last night, man. This isn't going to be here forever. You talk about it all the time. It's not going to be here forever.
Yep.
That guy, single-handedly, is a reason to buy a ticket to go watch the Mighty Ducks with those elite throwback uniforms, by the way. To go watch that on a Thursday night. I mean, that's why it's still relevant in this town, even if they're 3-7-1, whatever they are now.
So I'm going to watch every Penguins game, and I'm going to go to as many as I can over the course of the remainder of Crosby's career. So I agree with you. I think the attendance disagrees with you, though. And you're right, it's Halloween, and I do think that is absolutely important to bring that up.
Yeah, I mean,
but there were 4,000 empty seats, my man, and I think there were actually more. 4,000, they said. I mean, I think there might have been 12,000, 13,000 people there last night, Jeff.
But listen, it doesn't matter. Years past, it doesn't matter what holiday it is. That place is packed.
Exactly.
So I don't care what Halloween it is.
Exactly. You know? And yeah. So that what I'm wondering is, I don't know how much FSG is paying attention, Jeff. But the whole idea behind bringing Crosby, Malkin, and Letang back over and over again is that people are going to come and watch them. And I don't think that's happening. Because not just last night, but the attendance is down overall this year in a bad, bad way.
When that starts to drop, then the value of that nostalgia team goes down.
Exactly. Exactly. And thank you for the call, Jeff. Good conversation. Let's take Matt real quick in Connecticut, listening on the Odyssey app. Hi, Matt.
Hey, man. I just wanted to call about the Russell Wilson question that you posed about 30 minutes ago or whatever. I don't know if that's still relevant.
Oh, we're doing it all today, baby. There's no Steeler game this weekend. We got 15 topics going at one time. What do you got?
Well, I just remember watching Wilson even after he left NC State. And, you know, I play fantasy devoutly. And if I had him as a quarterback, he was feast or famine. He would either put up, you know, 700 points or do nothing. And then, you know, you see him in Seattle and it was the same thing. It's like bipolar.
Yeah.
Then you see him in Denver, and he had those bad games. Then he went on that streak, that awesome streak. But I will say, when Fields was in, I was very, very against putting in Wilson because I figured, you know, the devil you know is better than the one that you don't. However, after seeing him in these last few games, there is a definite difference between the passing ability of these two, and the arc, and the
moon ball.
The moon ball, right? I mean, it definitely is putting the hands into the receivers more often, I think. So,
oh, no question. And thank you for the call, Matt. I got to run here. He's way better than what Justin Fields was offering in the passing game. I did not want them to make the change either. I got egg on my face. I'm eating crow. They are a lot better with Russell Wilson. They run the ball better. They can throw the ball into the end zone. Sometimes the officials will make a call or you don't get your second foot down. They're a much better passing team with Russell Wilson, no doubt. The question is, yes, the consistency, but they're also running the ball, playing good defense and special teams. We'll find out. I don't know that they've got a quarterback advantage the rest of the way, save from when they play Jameis Winston, which is fascinating because Russell Wilson's giving you a chance. Is he better than the guys they're about to play? We'll see. 412-928-9370. More Pitt, Penn State, Ohio State, SMU thoughts when we come back. Chris Carter going to join us from the Post-Gazette at the top of the hour. I think the Pitt-SMU game bigger than the Penn State-Ohio State game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I am cynical. And I think the loser of the Penn State-Ohio State game, unless the game gets totally out of hand one way or the other, I think that team still makes the college football playoff. The big brand that is Ohio State at 10-2 with then a win over Indiana, I think they get in. I think Penn State with one loss gets in. So, to me, it's not an elimination game. SMU-Pitt could be. I think Pitt needs to win the ACC to get a spot in the college football playoff. Now, someone texted in at 412-928-9370 and said, what if Pitt has one loss to SMU but beats Clemson and finishes 11-1? I still think they'd have to beat Miami in the title game. If not, they're getting left out at 11-2. Now, then they raise this point, which is a good one. If they beat Clemson but lose to SMU, they could be 11-1 and not make the ACC championship. No doubt. So Pitt at 11-1, not making the ACC championship. Okay, now you're contending with Notre Dame with one loss. You're contending with the runner-up in the Big 12 with one loss. You're dealing with Texas A&M, potentially with one loss. Tennessee, potentially with one loss. Texas, Georgia. All these teams, the brands, Alabama with two losses. You don't think they could put Bama with two losses in over Pitt with one? What I'm saying is, because I'm a cynic, because I'm a pessimist, I look at all those teams, all their schedule strengths, all the SEC, all the Big Ten, oh my God, over a one-loss ACC club in Pitt. I think they're all getting in over Pitt. Right or wrong, I just think that's the way it's going. So Pitt better beat SMU tomorrow. and beat Clemson. I thought Narduzzi had it right this week when he talked about, we're not worried about where we are in the AP poll. We're not worried about this or that. It's all ahead of them. It is. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, he covers Pitt, covers the Steelers for them as well. He's going to join us to talk about all this coming up in the next segment. We blew right past, my bad, the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Obviously a big game for Pitt. How big? We'll talk to Carter about that. Also, why is SMU a 7.5-point favorite? I thought when Holstein was announced to be available for this game by Narduzzi that the line would start coming down. It hasn't. Pitt plus 250 on the money line. Pitt a 7.5-point dog. Why? We'll try to get to the bottom of it with Chris Carter coming up next. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road in McMurray, or at sunchevy.com today. High of 69.